worthy of all praise and glory and honor. And we lift you up to that highest place this afternoon. We thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for your presence amongst us as we worship you. You enthrone our praises. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you for what you are doing, for what you have been doing, but for what you are doing in our lives right now. As we stand in this place, as we're aware of your presence, Lord God, we want to lift to you. We want to lift up to you those, Lord God, who are unwell at the moment, those who are sick, Lord God. And I just, you know, if that's you this afternoon, I ask you that you would lift your hands to God. If you know of someone who is unwell, who is sick at the moment, that you would lift your hands to God in faith for them. You love to restore us, Lord God. You love to heal us. You love to see us whole and living life to the full. We thank you for the healing that comes in Jesus' name. We thank you for the healing that is ours because of what you have done for us, Jesus. And we thank you for it, and we receive it for ourselves and for others in Jesus' name. We give you all the glory, and we give you all the praise. We thank you that you are close to us, and I pray that your presence would be known by those who truly need you at this time in a very deep and raw and real way. May they know your love. We pray, Jesus. And indeed, Father, I pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts this afternoon as we come around your word. Open up our eyes, open up our ears, I pray, that we would hear from you what we need to hear from you this evening. We thank you that the table has been laid, and you ask of us to partake of it. So indeed, that's what we do this evening. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Presence of the Lord in this place, isn't there? It's wonderful. Thanks, team. To worship is so good, isn't it? To worship God, to have the freedom to do so, is such a gift. And we've been talking over these last couple of weeks, as Guy mentioned before, about worship and how our lives are and how they can be shaped by worship. Everyone who walks the earth worships something or someone to various degrees and outcomes. And we see the outworking of that, the evidence of that, by where people might spend their time and resources and their attention and their affection. And as followers of Christ, our primary focus and the foundation of our worship is towards God as the creator of all things. That he has created everything, the sky and the earth and everything in it. And he's created us in his image, and we are very good. So he said, of everything that he made, it is good, but us, he delights in us. He loves us. And we're created in his image to bear his image to the world. And we're created so that we would know him and be known by him. But we know that because of the fall of humanity and the separation that followed, God in his infinite love and wisdom gave his son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him would not die but have eternal life, that they would be reconciled back to God, and that now that we would live as followers of Christ, both now and into eternity. This is why we worship. For who he is and for what he has done. We know that it can be easy to worship on the mountaintop when the sun is shining and there's a gentle breeze on our face, when life is good. But we know too that when we find ourselves in the valley, and to be honest, we often find ourselves there, where the sun doesn't shine all day and sometimes where there's a howling wind that comes through. However, in this place, fear does not need to be a factor for us. So his faithful presence and his light is with us, and that leads us through. And as we encounter the reality of that for ourselves, it leads us into a different kind of worship. Now today, we're going to be looking at praise and how our lives are and can be shaped by our praise to God. So if you have your Bibles with you or your phones, if you could turn to Hebrews 13, chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. And it says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. The sacrifice of praise. It's such an odd combination of words, isn't it? Sacrifice and praise. They don't kind of seem to fit really well together, yet here we read these words. Because when I think of sacrifice, I think of the giving up of something. I think of the death of something. I think of that sense of loss. I guess the ultimate is the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. But when I think of praise, I think of celebration, and I think of joy, and I think of lift, and I think of life. So how and why are the two joined together? And then how is it applicable to our lives? Throughout the Bible, we are instructed and encouraged to praise God. Like Guy read before, you know, David tells us to praise the Lord all the time through the book of Psalms. You know, you just have to read this book, mostly songs that have been written by him that share a whole lot of his life. He's an open book in this. It talks of the triumphs of his life and the trip-ups of his life. But what happens, though, is at the end, more most often than not, he finishes with praise to God for his goodness and his faithfulness. The Bible instructs us to praise God, all the inhabitants of the earth. So that's us and all the animals. I guess there's an instruction there. They inhabit the earth, that they, in their own unique way, will praise God. And even the angels and the heavenly hosts are instructed to praise the Lord. Jesus himself even said that if we don't praise the Lord, that even the rocks will cry out and praise him. Imagine that. We see Bible characters in times of victory and in times of great challenge that they're praising God. We read of Job, of Joseph, Jehoshaphat. At times the people of God are praising God together. You know, they come together and they praise God and they celebrate him. And there are the apostles as well. We read of them and the challenge that they faced, and they praised God. And of course, we've heard of, over the last couple of weeks, of Paul in chains, in the inner prison cell, and he's praising and worshiping God. Now, praise is different to worship, yet there is a crossover between the two of them. In Scripture, praise is usually presented as being boisterous and celebratory. Praise is joyfully recounting what God has done. It's something that we declare with our words. It's when we honour and magnify the goodness of God. You know, we praise God because he is good. He is good. He is a good, good Father. And his ways are right and just. And we praise him because of Jesus. That he loved us so much that he has given us Jesus, that Jesus came. And through his life, death, and resurrection, we are now saved. We are now part of the family of God. We have been reconciled back to the Father, and we are now sons and daughters of the Most High God. And his love to us is enduring, and it's faithful. He never gives up on us. And we praise him because all of the promises, you know, the promises in this book that we read, the promises that are in here are yes and amen. He is faithful to his word. We praise him because he is wonderful and miraculous and powerful, and chances are you have experienced that from him, but you've also experienced the gentle, merciful, and gracious goodness of God. And as we praise him, this is the amazing thing, we speak out our praise. We're not only declaring it into the atmosphere, not only are we saying it to God, we're speaking back to him all that he has done and in the presence of one another, but we're also speaking it over ourselves. And we need to do this because we need to remind ourselves of the goodness of God, because quite often we forget. And when we speak it over and we remind ourselves that yes, he has been moving, and yes, he is moving. He's not silent. Just because we can't hear him, he's not silent. Just because we can't see him moving doesn't mean to say that he is. He is. And so as we praise him, it builds up our faith. And we need that, don't we, in times? We absolutely need to strengthen our faith. And as we heard a couple of weeks ago, it's in that place. What happened for Paul was that, you know, there was an earthquake, the prison doors swung open and the chains were broken. And we know that happened in the natural for him, but that's what happens for us in the spiritual when we praise and when we worship God. Those chains are broken and the doors are open for us. When we praise God, our focus is just on God. It's not upon ourselves, it's on him and on him alone. So what it does is it refocuses our attention. It's good for us to praise God because, you know, Philippians 4, and it talks about don't be anxious about anything. You know, it says to pray and bring our requests before God and then to think on what is lovely and praiseworthy. Praiseworthy is one of it. What are the things that are praiseworthy? And when we start to think about it, then we start to speak it out. And then there's a lift and a shift, and because then it restores our souls, because life batters us around, doesn't it? We get battered around with all the challenges that we face. But what we find as we begin to settle ourselves and focus ourselves, we find ourselves being restored. Our souls are restored. Praise also realigns our priorities. Because what fear can do is magnify our problems so that all we can see are the things that are wrong. But praise magnifies God. And suddenly God takes his rightful place in our heart and in our sight and in our minds. Our praise pleases God. I don't know, just even kind of thinking on that, praise pleases God. Isn't that what we long to do? Don't we long to please him? How do we do it? There are so many ways, but actually simply praising God, speaking out and declaring our praise to him pleases him, and he is enthroned upon our praises. When we praise God, it's an opportunity for us to give to God our thanks and our praise for all that he has done for us. We offer our praise, our worship, with our own free will. It's not forced from us. We offer it of our own free will. So praise becomes our gift to him. It becomes our free will gift to praise and honor him. Sacrifice. So we've had praise, sacrifice. All throughout the Bible, we read of sacrifice. In the time of, you know, all those centuries that the Old Testament has been written, there's a lot about sacrifice. And it's what people did. They sacrificed all sorts of things and in all sorts of ways to please and appease their gods. But in the Bible, we read of three kinds of sacrifices that were given to God. There were the sacrifices for sin, for the sins against God. And what would happen then, people would bring along an innocent lamb in the place of the sinner. They'd bring it to the priest, and the priest would do what he does. And after it's all been done, then the sin has been removed from the sinner, and they can go free. Another of the sacrifices was for their commitment to God, and these were known as burnt offerings. It was an offering that was given by the people. The people would bring it, and there were different kinds of burnt offerings, and they would bring it to the priest. The priest would take it, put it on an altar, and they would burn it, and there would be nothing left, and then the smoke would rise up to God. And this was to show the commitment of the people, because they were willing to bring this. This is what they brought to God as their commitment to him. And then the last of the sacrifices was that of praise and thanksgiving to God. And it was known as a wave offering, where they would bring the best of their gifts, they'd bring the best of their animals, the best of their harvest, whatever it was that they would bring, and they would give it to God as a gift because of his goodness and his generosity to them. And they would bring it, and the priest would put his hands underneath, and together they would lift it up and they would wave it before the Lord. And then the people would cry, "Thank you, Lord. We love you. We are so grateful for what you have done to us. And so I'm bringing you this because it means so much to me, and I give it back to you." Now, it cost a lot for these people to bring these sacrifices. It cost money to buy a lamb. It cost money to bring the items and to pay for the items that would be for a burnt offering. And it would cost them personally in a different way when they would bring the best of their harvest, when they would bring the best of their animals to God. You know, these are the healthy plants that were like, these were going to reproduce really well. These animals were going to reproduce really well. But they were bringing them to God and they were offering to him. So it cost them. It cost them time to organize it all and to think about, what was I going to bring? What is worthy of God? What's important to God? What shall I do? What shall I bring? And then, there was the coming together. There was the traveling to the priest and the time that it took to present the offering and what was required of them. So it was their resources, their time, and their hopes and their dreams. And this was a necessary part of the worship of God in that day, because without those sacrifices, there could be no worship. So for some, the time and resources, they were easy to give. They had a lot of time. They probably had a lot of money. So it wasn't too challenging. But for some, it might have been all that they had. To take time away from the farm, who was going to look after the farm? It cost a lot. Obviously, we don't do those kind of sacrifices as they did in the Old Testament. The sin offering, the sacrifice for our sin, has already been paid once and for all by Jesus Christ. Our debt has been paid. Now, God looks at us through Jesus, and we are holy, and we are without blemish, and we are free from accusation in his sight. That is the good news. So what our sacrifice in this case is to actually bring our praise to God for what he has done. But there's more than that. Our sacrifice comes as we choose to offer ourselves, our everyday, ordinary lives, our sleeping, our eating, our going to work, our leisure time, our chilling out time, as an offering to God, saying, here's my life. And then embracing his will and his way for our lives. Our sacrifice comes as we choose to bring our best to God, our best thoughts and our best attitudes, our gifts and our talents, our resources, acknowledging him for his provision of them in the first place, saying, "Thank you, Lord, for what you've given me, and I offer them back to you." And we don't use an intermediary. We don't use a priest to bring our sacrifice through, because now, as followers of Christ, we are a royal priesthood, so that we ourselves now bring and declare the praises of him who has brought us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We now are the ones who bring our own gift, our own free will sacrifice of praise to God. Now, bringing our sacrifice of praise, bringing these gifts, sometimes can be really easy, and sometimes it can be really hard, and sometimes it can be seemingly impossible. are the easy gifts of praise. This is when we can see and we know the good things that God has done and that he's blessed us with. So to look around, like things like the people in our lives and the things that we might have. It might be those answered prayers. You know, we've been praying and then God answers our prayers and we're like, yes. You know, the obvious one, you know, is when we pray for a car park and there's one over there and off we go and we get it, or something that we've wanted on, that we've always been saving up for comes on sale. It's like, yes, thank you, Jesus. And we're, you know, it's so easy for us to praise him in that. And of course, we feel like praising God, don't we? Yeah, praise you, Jesus. But then there's also the hard gift, the hard sacrifice of praise. Because sometimes it's really hard to praise God when there's a sense of lack of blessing. It's kind of like we see all around us, if God is blessing everyone else, and we're like, I'm over here, God, can you see me? You know, bless me. Thank you that you've blessed my brother or my sister, but what about me? It's hard to praise God when things don't appear to be going easily. When we're facing problems that we didn't expect, or when there's a loss in our lives, like the loss of a job or loss of opportunities or our dreams and hopes, we just kind of see them disappear, a loss of relationships. It's in this time, it seems like all we can see is our lack or the loss. And these times are really challenging. When we praise, our praise then truly does become a sacrifice. It's in this time that we really do need to pause and to refocus our vision. Because if all we can see is what we don't have, when we look to God, we begin to see what we do have because of what he has done for us. And we begin to readjust our affections. You know, all that disappointment and that sense of failure. But as we look to God and we begin to praise him for who he is, then suddenly our heart changes and our heart almost, it warms up and it softens before God. And then we begin to speak in faith with hope, our prayer, our praise to God. We'll possibly know the story of Job, who in two big waves almost lost everything. And if you just, it's just in that first chapter, if you just read what took place, it's devastating. But then we read his immediate response to it. It says that in worship he fell to the ground and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Wow, such a sacrifice of praise in that moment. Like, Job wasn't saying that what had happened was praiseworthy, absolutely not, but God was still to be praised. It didn't mean that he understood what was going on and the situation that was happening in front of him. It meant that his hope and his faith in God remained solid. And he needed that. That was his starting point for this incredibly challenging journey of faith that he was about to begin. You know, it seems so contrary in our hard times to praise God. But as we begin to understand what it means for us, our speaking out our praise to God, how it changes us, how it changes things around us, how it changes how we view and how we perceive God, that helps us to bring the gift that we have to God as we choose to praise him. And if that's not hard enough, because I'm sure we can all identify ourselves in those hard times, there is that those seemingly impossible times, those seemingly impossible gifts of praise that we bring. Because how do we praise God when we experience such loss and such devastation of heart that sometimes we do? How do we praise him when we're experiencing such hard and challenging times? You may look back and think of the times that you have hated to go through that have been absolutely terrible. You may be in there now. These may be the absolute worst times of your life. Yet now, in retrospect, you know that you were that God carefully allowed these things into your life, that there was never a time when God was not with you, that there was never a time that he was not at work, working everything out for our good, in his glory, in his timing, even when we didn't see it at the time. Even now, if you don't see it, it's like, where were you? What was this all about? You know, as I was considering the lives of many in history that we know of who have endured such seemingly impossible times, and of course there are now countless people that this side of heaven we will never know who are facing incredible pain and uncertainty and loss and even death, yet who still praise God. My mind still goes to Jesus. You know, on that night, looking at that Last Supper, knowing what was to come. And there he is at the table, and he lifts up the bread and he gives thanks for the meal. And those around him who were sitting at the table, those ones who were calling him friend and Lord and teacher with one breath, but these were the same ones who would betray him and deny him, the ones who would give up the hope that he had given them. But not only that, he then washed their feet because he loved them. This was his sacrifice of praise to God. And you enter into the Garden of Gethsemane when, you know, really what his prayer was, if I don't have to do this, I don't want to do it. But then he pauses and as he looks to God and he says, yet not my will, but your will be done. His sacrifice of obedience. And then again, when he was on the cross, enduring such pain, he says, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they've done. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. When it's seemingly impossible to worship or praise God and appreciate what he is allowing to take place in our life, this is when we give the seemingly impossible sacrifice of praise. Our praise belongs to God, not because it's easy or because it's hard or because it's seemingly impossible, but ultimately because he is worthy of it all. Absolutely, it can be, and it is hard, and I'm sure we all know those times when it is a real sacrifice to bring our gift of praise to him. Acknowledging the reality of that is, I think, is a really honest thing to do, because life can be challenging, it can be hard, it can be confusing, and it can be downright awful at times. But our situations don't define who God is and what he can do. They help us to remember the goodness and the faithfulness of God, which helps us to experience God in different ways, possibly deeper ways, in ways that we may not have known before, but maybe it's in new ways. And this most often begins when we turn our eyes and our hearts, our attention and our affection to God. And that, I wonder, I think too, is when we have those "but God" moments. But God. And we're reminded that God is good and that his ways are just and right, and that God loves us so much that he's given us Jesus, who through the sacrifice of his life in love and worship to God has saved us and is saving us. And he's made a way so we can be reconciled back to him, and that we would know that we have a hope and a future with him. And then we're encouraged to have the sacrifice of praise is to continually offer it to God. So how do we do that? Well, the author of Hebrews tells us that it is with the fruit of our lips that openly profess his name. Scripture tells us that we praise him when we speak it out, when we declare it, when we sing it, when we dance, and when we move, when we use the instruments. Yes, it's in the songs that we sing. But it's not just limited to song. It's in our prayers. It's in our conversations. It's through the words that we speak. Luke 8:45 says that the good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What we say overflows from what is in our heart. If our heart is full of praise and adoration and thanksgiving, then what we say and then the good things that we do will flow out from there. I think that's why Job could say what he said in that really challenging time, because the treasury of his heart was full of praise and adoration of God. David says in Psalm 34, verse 1, to praise God all the time. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall always be in my mouth. So praising him continuously and at all times. I think all times, what does that mean? Does it mean, exactly, Maria, it means all the time. So it means in the good times and in the bad times, in the hard times and in the rough times, in the night time and in the daytime, when we feel like it and when we don't. These are all the right times to praise God. We don't need to wait for an occasion to do it. If that's our only outlet for praise, then we can find that when our occasion becomes more important than our praise. But there is also a need for intentionality to get into the habit of praising. In Chronicles, in the book of Chronicles, the priests are instructed to get up in the morning and praise God. And then they were instructed that when they went to bed, they were to praise God. So maybe that is something that we could do if you don't already. Maybe before you get out of bed, you could offer praise to God rather than, oh, Lord, I've got to get out of bed. It's like, thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord, that I'm awake. I praise you, God, for the beauty of this day. I praise you for rain. You know, there's a whole lot of rain around. And then last thing at night before you go to bed, taking that moment to sit on your bed and reflect over the day that you've had, giving thanks to God and giving our praise to God for where we've seen a move, for those answered prayers, for those times that we weren't aware in the moment, but suddenly you have some understanding of his goodness. Now, it would be remiss of me not to be able to offer some time this evening for us to actually bring our sacrifice of praise to God. And we did that beforehand, absolutely. That was just beautiful, this moment of praising God. But what we're going to do is we're going to come to the table. We're going to come to communion. And this is our moment where, as we take the emblems and then we can come back and sit down, this is our moment to realign our thoughts, to refocus our affection and our gaze on God, and that we can offer up to him our sacrifice of praise. Now, it may be that this evening, your praise, it's easy for you to praise God because there's so much that you can instantly think of that is going well in your life and that you can praise him for. But it may well be that it's hard. And that's very real. So it's in this time then to take the time to focus on him and allow the Spirit to remind you of the goodness of God. And I know that it's really hard for us to speak it out and to declare it out loud sometimes, but I really want to encourage you this evening, as and when you can, to begin to speak out and to declare your praise. Now, Melissa's going to be playing, and the music can go up so that there's opportunity for you to speak. And yes, you will be heard, but you won't be the only one praising and giving your thanks to God for his goodness and for his faithfulness for Jesus. So I'm going to invite you to come up and take the emblems and then take them back to your seat now.